Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. So today we're doing kind of a revisit on two topics, forgiveness and the death of my father, which we did an episode on. So I did want to, this was before we did big questions, those episodes.
Right. Yeah.
So now my question to you is, how are you with forgiveness?
Oh, that is a really, that's a big question. And
that's a big question.
As obvious as that question is, I still didn't expect it. So this is how good I am at this question thing.
I can throw in some real curveballs, so that's fair.
You do. I think, well, as whereas I'm all over the place and just ask you about random nonsensical things. But yeah, for forgiveness, I think I'm actually pretty good at forgiving. I'm one of those who it takes a lot to get angry, and it takes a lot for me to be done with you. And typically when I'm done with you, it's when I let go of everything. And so therefore, it's neither either or. But trusting you is a whole other thing. So I feel like, you know, that's of course a big caveat, and that's a big conversation of what is forgiveness really. The whole forgive and forget is, I don't think it's realistic, and it shouldn't be an expectation. But forgive and move on, that, I think that's that's more of my tone. So it's kind of that, but I don't forget things. I'm really petty about that. I will say that. And so that will always linger in the back of my head. So I will put myself, if it was a 1 through 10 scale, I'm at a 5.
Oh, I like this. Coming up with some metrics.
I'm like, this is the best way I can describe this, because I want to say I'm better than I think. But then when I honestly talk about whole forgetting and moving past, I can move past it, but it's always going to be a haunt for me.
Right. Ooh, a haunt.
Yes.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yes.
I'm similar in that it takes a lot for me to reach the point where I am just done. And when I think of, this is something that has been on my mind for a long, long time, because in our society, we do pressure people, especially women, to forgive. And since we've both gone through trauma, like I just was so torn by it. I'm like, what if I can't forgive? And I felt like that meant something was wrong with me, or I was being petty. And there are some people I want to forgive. I want to, but my body won't. It's not there yet. And that's okay. And so we're going to talk today about my forgiveness with my dad. And I think this is the biggest, I've never forgiven someone on this level before. I don't have anything else to compare it to. But to reiterate before we start talking about that, this forgiveness is a very personal thing, and it's something you don't owe anybody. And it doesn't make you a better person. there is that petty line of holding stuff against people. But in general, it's up to you and it is about the person who has been wronged. And when we did that episode, that was so enlightening and kind of just like lifting the load off of me. Because we do, or at least in my case, I do think of it as a gift you're giving someone else. But instead, it's really has very little to do with them and all to do with what you want and what is right for you.
And yeah, and just to reiterate, I know we talked about it in the episode, but a lot of that expectation and a lot of that assumption that women should automatically be forgiving, nurturing, and caring, mm-hmm. and especially placed on women of color, especially Black women in general, being told you need to get past it, you need to be the bigger person, have the bigger heart, is complete nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore—
It's weaponized.
It's just weaponized against women in general. So in general— when we talk about, not in general, overall, when we talk about this, it is for your own self and your own therapeutic level and who you are as an individual. And like she said, you don't owe that to anyone and no one is deserving of that in general.
Yeah. Yeah. It's changed so much of how I think about things. And it was learning that was a gift.
Yeah.
But I still catch myself falling into those traps sometimes because that's just how it's framed.
It's hard to unlearn things.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And Annie, you and I have had really deep conversations lately and in general and great conversations about the anniversary of your dad's death, which just recently happened. And I know you've processed a lot this year and I'm really glad we're revisiting that because unfolding that for other people to know does help and it's therapeutic for them as well. But yeah, just to reiterate this, this is very personal and this is very open. And for those who are not in that mindset, that's fine. But also please understand, Annie's being very open. When we talk about these things with y'all, it's because we want you to be a part of our lives. And this is something so personal that it's beneficial for everyone. And then also just understand, it takes a lot to be as open as she's going to be and as we are, hopefully. You more so than me, I think, about stuff like this.
Yeah, and I suppose before I get into it, trigger warning, I guess, if you are struggling with grief or forgiveness, maybe don't listen to this one or just be mindful if you start feeling yourself. I don't think it's going to get that intense, but you know. You never can. That is one thing I have learned in this year is you can never, ever tell what is going to set you off.
Right.
And some things you think should, don't. Some things you are so shocked by, will. So it's been over a year since my dad's death. It's actually his birthday this Saturday, or would have been. And I have forgiven him. I didn't go into too much detail about why our relationship went so bad, but it did. It was really, really bad. And I was like reveling and telling my friends, when he's dead, I'm going to dance on his grave. I'm never going to forgive him. And I never thought I would. Like if you had asked me a year ago, I never would have thought it. I didn't want to. I really, really fiercely didn't want to. And I've been thinking about that. And I think it's because I was still thinking of it as a gift you give someone else. I didn't want to give him that gift or make him think like I was fine with what he did because I'm not fine with what he did and I'm still really angry and I'm still really hurt, but I was still thinking about it in terms of him and not in terms of me. And now the biggest thing I feel is sorry. I feel so sorry for him. And I don't know. I don't know what facing death every day does to a person every day for years. I don't know what chronic pain does. I don't know what it's like to have your entire body fail on you. And we really didn't know each other. And that's been painful too. It's like learning. Because when he first died, people kept saying, oh, he'd be so proud of you. And my knee-jerk thought was, he didn't know me at all. And now I realize I didn't really know him at all either. And we didn't have like meaningful conversations. We didn't share emotions. So that's why I didn't really know what he was going through. And now I do feel a lot of empathy for that. And he he did have a rough childhood and he was raised by a lot of people and he had a lot of death early on in his life. And he had these abandonment issues that he passed on to me. And I've seen those in my own relationships. And that's hard too, because I'm learning all these things about him. It feels so disorienting, like learning about a different person. And maybe I could have understood my own self better if I'd known him. But I don't know. I was seeing him as a real person, as a whole person with these flaws. And he did do a lot of damage. And I'm not excusing that, but it's just helped me be more empathetic. And it's not something I sought out to do, honestly. I really didn't. And it does make me sad that I can't let him know that I forgive him now. And that's the thing that people always tells you. And it's so frustrating because people always say, you better say what you want to say now. Because when they die, you won't have the chance and you'll regret it. And I remember being like, bah. And it's true. And it's so annoying. But I do think I couldn't have forgiven him when he was alive. I didn't want to. And I honestly think I couldn't have. And there's something kind of relieving about that, of just accepting that that's the space I was in. And it sucks. But I couldn't have really done anything about it because he hadn't done anything to show me that he was changing.
Right.
Or that he at least recognized the pain he'd caused.
Well, I was going to say, do you think being able to process his death has been a big help in being able to forgive him, that if it wasn't for his death, you wouldn't have been able to go down this line to actually forgive
right.
him. So it was inevitable that it wasn't going to happen until he was gone.
I think, yes. Or at least, like, I think if he was still alive and he had changed, I still wouldn't have forgiven him by this point. I think it would have taken many, many years. If it happened at all. And I guess there is some kind of human nature in there of like, you always want what you can't have. Now I can't like share that I've forgiven him. And I don't like, I do feel so much better since I have. I feel lighter. I can't pinpoint when it happened. Again, I really didn't think it would ever happen. And I wasn't trying to. I just started feeling so sad for him and so sorry for him and thinking about how like emaciated he was in the bed and like knowing it was only a matter of time and how scary that must have been. And to have like his entire family, he alienated his entire family and there was no time to fix it. and I talked to my mom and she's in the same space.
I think that you and I talked about that a little bit again, how you were saying that one of the big factors of you not being able to forgive him and what's changed now is because you learned things about his past that he could never tell you before, is that you're discovering mm-hmm. it on your own. A, B, he wasn't changing. Like his behavior mm-hmm. continued in that toxic behavior, whether it was out of fear, whether it was out of selfishness, whichever, whether it was maybe even out of pain, as you would say. But when you see a behavior that's not changed,
yeah.
you can't change it for him. Or for them
right.
in general. So therefore, of course, as much as you would like to be able to do so because you are a giving person and a loving individual, you want to. But mm-hmm. that, again, is not on you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yes, that doesn't change the fact you still feel that guilt
mm-hmm.
for something that you were unable to do, whether it's because of him or because of you.
Yeah. And I can hold on to anger and hurt. Like,
those are the easy ones.
I know. it takes so much for me to get to angry, which I actually think is a problem. But when I get it, it's like, oh
I saw
I am angry.
We played Catan. She got mad at me, y'all. She got real mad at me. I was kind of like, oh.
I was so tired, Samantha.
I was like, this is how our friendship ends. With a board
Catan.
Game.
Catan. That sounds right. We are both competitive. Mm-hmm. One thing I've noticed that's kind of, and grief is the same way, is people have reacted to it differently. And I think this is also human nature, but I would caution you, anybody listening, like don't. People have told me you shouldn't have, like, he didn't deserve to be forgiven. You shouldn't have. And then other people have said, well, what does it matter now? But I don't know, like treating it like a weakness that I did, which is so interesting because a lot of our cultural discourse is like, no, it's a strength. I've gotten a lot of people who've treated it like I've been weak for like a pushover or something.
Which is, yeah.
And I understand.
That's toxic.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand like the knee jerk. Look at all these things he did within any relationship. How could you forgive him? But I would just caution to not do that.
Well, that's kind of like when we had our conversation about domestic violence and why women forgive or why women go back. There's a lot of things that we would think we would do on the outside. It's really easy to spectate and have a judgmental conversation about the do's or don'ts or what ifs, but you really can't, and that's unfair. You don't matter. Outside spectators don't matter, and that our opinions should be at least to none unless really asked for.
Yeah. That has been one of the most interesting, kind of shocking things I've experienced. And then like questioning, well, don't you think it should have taken longer? Don't you think it should have taken shorter? Everybody does this different ways. Same with grief.
Right.
And it's something else I've noticed, and I'm not sure if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I've started translating that, like this empathy and forgiveness to other people in my life that I've struggled to forgive. I've seen it with my brother. I actually ran into one of my abusers lately, and God help me, did I think maybe I should forgive him? And then I was like, why do you think that?
Wow.
So it left a huge lasting impact that I'm still kind of working through of like what is just kind of fallout of what I'm dealing with right now.
Right.
And what's going to actually stick around.
I mean, I know, again, not to brag about the fact that I'm really friends with Annie. Ha ha ha. We did talk a lot about trauma and forgiveness and what that looks like. And you contemplating, you know, I regret not forgiving my dad when he was alive. Not regret, but I wish I could be able to tell my dad that I forgave him. And talking about what that means as to the people in your life today who has traumatized you or a part of that trauma. And it was an interesting conversation you and I had about how trauma affects all relationships. And though there was a bigger part to play in this relationship specifically to you, but the fact is that there's this layered story that not everyone knows. Don't you wish it was a movie that just unfolded? Not that you would want to watch a movie about it, but just kind of being able to see the inside of what has happened.
Yeah.
Because it does, like you said, knowing people's past, knowing people's hurts, knowing people's own issues does help you have more empathy for those people. But at the same time, that's not fair to say that that should affect you in any way, as in you have to forgive them because you know this. Come on, give them a chance. That's not necessarily fair either.
No.
And it is. And we've talked about it before, but just hold deeper level of trauma and then going through the trauma to find forgiveness and what that looks like. And that there's no time frame. There's no limit, honestly. It can be after their death. And it's still purposeful. And it is still effective. And forgiving someone after their death is okay.
Yeah.
And you know, it is what you got, but it's not the worst thing that could have happened. If that makes sense. And then you're talking about running into your abuser. I know I've had that on my own, having to run into abusers. I remember we had a listener who talked about that as well and trying to deal with that and how to really go about that and just trying to rush yourself into forgiveness when it may never happen is also traumatizing too and really unfair to the individual. So trying to let go of that, it's really hard, especially again for women, especially for victims, especially, you know, for those survivors. It is the hardest bit. And to push someone to do that is complete lack of humanity.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. And I do want to say, I've been talking through a lot of this in therapy about how this person that abused me, and now I feel sorry for them, and now I feel like all these things. And my therapist is always like, yeah, but you don't owe them any of that. And you should have compassion for yourself. Like, it wasn't your job to have compassion for them. So just keeping that in mind too, is like, you're listening to me work through this. You need to keep those things in mind. And it is complicated, and it does work differently for different people. And there's not necessarily a better or worse way, as long as you're looking out for your health and your mental health and all of that.
Quick plug. Therapy. Yes. Therapy.
Yes. Yes. It's been shocking to me how many things I'm like, well, certainly I've worked through this. No.
And it is also the benefit of having a good therapist and a good sounding voice.
Yes. Yes.
And for those who can't get there, understandable. But those who mm-hmm. have doubts about it or scared to do it, these are the things that we're talking about, why it's important. Because it's not something mm-hmm. that, you know, yes, you're going to have to uncover a lot about yourself, but it's already there and deep-seated and yep. affecting you more than you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's... That's sort of where I am. I now have a tradition, I guess, where I take a shot of vodka and watch Star Wars on important days to my dad, which would be his anniversary of his death and his birthday. Samantha helped me celebrate one of these instances. Star Wars is a very interesting father tale. So it fits.
Again, when you and I had one of these conversations, we had this whole like dissecting of, oh, this makes more sense for you than it does for me, because our traumas are very different. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, now I see why you like this so much and why you need this so yeah. much. Because I'm like, stay away from that completely. Thank you. But yeah, it's really interesting to see how you work things out. And it's okay. As long as it's not, you know, putting yourself in danger, it's okay to mm-hmm. work through these things. And I will say, Andy, from last year to this year, I'm really proud of the progress you've made. And I know therapy was something really, really scary for you. And the fact that you're mm-hmm. still a part of it, you're still in it, and you're still working things out, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I love seeing the relationship you have with your mom and how your support systems to each other. And it is a beautiful, yeah. beautiful relationship.
Yeah. Thank you. And, you know, I've noticed for sure the benefit of it for me, and especially mindfulness of just kind of realizing like, oh my gosh, this whole time it's really been a trust issue, or like, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Also, just want to throw in there, The Last of Us 2, okay, which I've played like 4 times now in various manners. What it came out right when I was going through all of this, and the ultimate story of that is sort of father and daughter figure, and the daughter figure not being able to forgive the father figure once she arrives at that point, because, well, you had to play to find out. But
I will say, I think I have been a part of this as well, and I heard a lot of Joel.
My heart.
My heart. My heart hurts. And I'm like, what's happening? What is happening?
Yes. But I think that's one of the reasons it was so impactful for me. And clearly this is a story that does resonate with people, because right after my dad died, so many people recommended things for me to watch that they thought would cheer me up. And I swear to God, it was almost hilarious how many of them had a missing father figure and usually a daughter who couldn't forgive them. And then my friends felt so bad, and they're like, well, I didn't even think about it. I'm like, don't worry, it's fine.
Yeah.
But like, clearly.
I think you watched Avengers, or the last Avengers one, and I was like, what? What? I'm like, what are you doing to yourself? There's literally a father-daughter relationship in that. That is traumatizing. What is wrong with you? Not that you can't do it, but you're like, yeah, I kind of forgot.
Yeah, I did. And then like How to Train Your Dragon, yeah. which has that too. I did the whole thing. Oh my gosh. You know, you work through it in different
it's
ways.
It's true. You like to be in the middle of it. I like to avoid it.
I like to feel my feels.
You do.
So, yeah, thanks for letting me share this with everybody. As always, we would love to hear from any listeners. You can email us. Our email is stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Instagram at Stuff I Never Told You, or on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast. Thanks as always to our super producers, JJ Posway and Andrew Howard.
Thanks, y'all.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.